We're holding on Daf Mem Gimel at the two dots, which are about five lines down after the middle of the page, which is wonderful. So, by Rav Chananya. Now, you will recall that what we've been dealing with is the question of the interaction between the dinim of mechitzas and areas defined by mechitzas between Shabbos and Yunt. And somebody wrote it, we're not a daf ahead now. This is today's daf. We lost the daf on Rosh Hashanah. Please stop sending me messages. Okay. All right. Let's try this again. So we've been dealing with the issue of the interaction between mechitzas and areas as defined for Shabbat, and mechitzas and areas is defined in the dinim of Erevin. And we talked about the issue of the confusion that this may engender in the various gezeiros that were made. We had all the machlokas in yesterday. Today we have another fascinating interaction between those two halachas. You will recall that when it comes to the dinim of Shabbos, we have a major question of how high above the rishus does the rishus extend. So when it comes to rishus hayochid is eila ad rakia. When it comes to rishus harabim is only up to asara tvachim. Above asara tvachim, it's no longer rishus harabim. It's considered to be a makom patur. As to whether you could carry holding something above your head as you walk through the rishus harabim, that we learned out from the Levim that that's a problem because that is the way that they transfer things. Fine, but in any other sense, if you're not in the rishus harabim, you're actually above the rishus harabim, you're not in the rishus harabim at all. So in other words, if you would be suspended in the air above ten tvachim, then you wouldn't be in the rishus harabim. Now the question is, what would be the din of the tchum in terms of halachas tchumim and erevin, if you are lamala miasar tvachim? Now this could make a tremendous nafkamina. For instance, supposing you were on a flight that got delayed, and the plane landed on Shabbat, and obviously it was far outside of the tchum, maybe thousands of miles outside of the tchum before Shabbat. So if there is no such thing as a tchum above asar tvachim from the ground, your tchum became your tchum only when the plane landed. Before the plane landed, you didn't have any other tchum because you were above 10 tvachim. In that case, you would be allowed to get off of the tchum and move about town. Masha Enkin, if there are tchumim l'malam yasara, then once the plane landed, you would be taken out of your tchum, and because of that, you wouldn't be allowed to be yotze outside of the Arba Amos, right? So this would be an extremely nogea question. And because of that, we want to establish here once and for all, yesh techumim l'mala mi'asara, or ein techumim l'mala mi'asara. Now let me explain what I mean when I say l'mala mi'asara. I mean, I am not talking about, obviously, a case l'mala mi'asara where you're on a hill, that's l'mala mi'asara, or you're in a building that's on the ground, l'mala mi'asara, or you're on some kind of platform that is standing on the ground and that is easy to walk on and so on. I mean, there obviously that's just an extension of the ground. I mean, it's not that you're in midair. I'm talking about your bedafka in midair. That's what I'm talking about. So if you would have an amud, which is arba al arba, so it's gvar sarach of arba, that's not an issue. That's the equivalent to walking on the ground, except the ground is taller over here. You're in the Empire State Building, so you're in a very tall part of the ground. But it's still all part of the ground, obviously. My only question is where you're suspended. How could you be suspended? I mean, the simple way of being suspended would be that you're on something that may be 10 tefachim high, but it doesn't have arba al arba, and therefore it's not considered to be an extension of the ground. And therefore, you are, for all intents and purposes, hanging in midair. That would be a question. Of course, you can't travel very far that way, but maybe there's a bunch of these things, you know? So you've got poles going for 10 miles. So you jump from one pole to the next pole. That's a pretty good thing. And it may not be all that convenient, but if you don't have an airplane handy, it's one way of traveling through the air with the greatest of ease. Anyway, that would be one possibility. Another possibility would be that your kazo bikvitsa. Bikvitsa would mean, obviously, that you have some magical way of taking a jump and it takes you 2,000 miles away. So Rashi says maybe you used a Shem Hashem, or maybe you're in Hogwarts, you're on a broom, whatever, it doesn't matter. Or maybe there's even technology that would enable you to do that one day. But the point is that you are suspended. That's the idea. Or another pshat was that Chananya was asking the question about being in a boat. Because since the surface that defines the Tchum is the earth and not the water, and you are floating along, basically suspended above the planet in this very thick material that keeps you up there, but that's not the surface. So then the truth is, if your boat comes in, now of course, this is going to be a riot from the Mishnah, because that if your boat would come in on Shabbat, so then you'd be allowed to get off, even if it came in Mechutz Tchum, because you only got a Tchum once you actually pulled up all the way into port and you were within 10 Tvachim. So then what would be the problem? That would obviate the whole discussion in the Mishnah, and that obviously is what we're going to be looking at, because then I don't need a telescope to decide what the focal length is and so on. Okay, so that we're going to see why we can ask this question in light of the Mishnah. Anyway, so those are the possibilities. I mean, assuming that we would definitely measure the Tchum from the planetary surface as opposed to whatever liquids or gases are on the surface, so then we could ask the question about a boat. Rav Hoshaya, well, I don't understand the question. It says in the Mishnah, Beferish, that there was this Maisa where we had two groups, right, of Shitas, and there were four Talmidei Chachamim, and they were coming from this Plandrasim, and the boat went out of port on Shabbos, and there was this whole problem of Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva. They said they want to be machmer on themselves because maybe the boat would stop. We said yesterday might be the Shabbos, obviously not Usser Bikra Adin, but whatever, right? So I don't understand. If there are no Tumim, Lamala Miasara, what do you mean they want to be machmer on themselves? Machmer on yourself if there is no Tum. The only reason they're going to be machmer on themselves is because the boat might stop, we said. And therefore, if the boat stops in the middle, then they won't be getting constantly renewed Tumim, right? So, Rabbi Shlomo Yesh Tumim Lamala Miasara. That explains why Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Akiva wrote to Lachmer Alatzman, because there would be Tumim even though the ship is in water. That I'm assuming, I mean, a ship goes in water that's more than 10 Tvachim, right? So must be that they held there was Tumim Lamala Miasara. But if you're going to tell me that there is no Tumim, there would be no point in being Machmer if there is not a Tumim at all. Well, as we're going to see in a moment, Rava explained that what we were talking about was traveling along the Mississippi. And traveling along the Mississippi, as you will recall, requires constant soundings to make sure that you're not going to be grinding up against some kind of silted up bottom, which means that the boat was essentially a barge or a raft of some kind. And because of that, they were very close to the bottom. And it was talking about one of those guys, had this big fan in the back, that pushes these things over the swamps. It was really an exciting kind of ride that Rabbi Akiva was in. So there they were on a Mahalechet Berakak. They were traveling through the Mississippi River. And that would be the case in the Mishnah also. In the first case, when they left from the port, it was a port along the Mississippi. Tashma. And where did Rava say that? Of course, is the next piece of the Mishnah. Because the next piece was that once they were traveling on Shabbat, right? And they came into port late. It was already after Shabbat. And they wanted to know whether they'd be allowed to get off of the boat. And it was the whole thing that they had to determine whether they were inside. Rabbi Gamliel said, yes, I was looking through my special telescope and I could see that we were in the port and so on. I mean, I understand that if you're going to tell me that there's Yesh Tchumim, so then they needed to have his telescope and they needed to define where they were. But if you're telling me there are no Tchumim above Asara, then the ship only got a Tchum once it was almost into the port and was close to the bottom, right? So then what would be the question? Why do they need all of this? So then if Rabbi Gamliel hadn't said, oh, we were hayinu b'toch ha-tchum, what if lo hayinu b'toch ha-tchum, quote unquote? So my Avi, what would be the difference? They obviously only got the Tchum at the very last minute. Oh, my Rava, no, the ship, this is where Rava originally said it, the ship that they were traveling, it was not a ship, it was a Mississippi River barge with another strange guy on board, whose name was Mark Twain. And they were all traveling together. So it was B'malechet Perakak. Okay, so we don't have a Raya from here. Now, we have an interesting Raya from a strange Kabbalah that we have. And the Kabbalah that we have is that those of you who have been in the Daf Yomi from before and remember the sugya in Chulin, there is the sugya of the Shev Shmaitza. The Shev Shmaitza are seven different ma'amorim, said by Amoroim. They're not brises, they're Shmaitzas. And they were all set together of seven cases that expanded the dinim of Treifus, if you recall, into these seven new areas that we hadn't thought about before, like Bukadatma, the Shafmi Duchte, or Gluda. I remember all of those seven cases. We have a Kabbalah that the first time that those seven cases were put together as a group and taught was on a Shabbos day, an interesting Shabbos day, in which Rav Chisda was learning in the morning. He was the Rosh Hashiva in Surah, and he was taught these Sheva Shmaitzas in front of Rav Chisda in the morning, and that was in the town of Surah, where his yeshiva was. But on that same Shabbos, they were taught again in front of Rabbah, I should probably say, in Pumpadisa. Now, Pumpadisa and Surah are very far apart. There's no way to get from one to the other. So how in the world could the Shev Shmaitzas have been taught in front of two places outside of the Tchum, unless you have Zoom, which they didn't have, we can assume. So what must have happened was that it must have been Elio Anavi who actually Zoomed from Surah to Pumpadisa, but he literally Zoomed. And because of that, he was traveling above Asura Tvachi, because you don't expect Elio Hanavi to be walking along on a white donkey or anything, right? So he probably just zoomed his way from Surah in the morning to Pumpadisa in the afternoon in order to be able to teach these Shev Shmaitzes. And Elio was certainly Shomer Shabbos, so he wouldn't have done that if there was a din of Tchum L'mala Me'asara, which proves conclusively that there's no din L'mala Me'asara, and that if your plane lands on Shabbat, you're allowed to get off of your plane. Because Man Amrinan, it's got to be Elio, which teaches that Ein Tchumim L'mala Me'asara. Says the Gemara, not necessarily. There are other travelers with magic brooms, and that would be Yosef Shida. Now, Yosef Shida was not a Shomer Shabbos. He was not Jewish. He did not have to be Shomer Shabbos, but he was a shade that very much enjoyed learning. And it could be that he got it into his head that he wants to teach these Shev Shmaitzes on Shabbos. And so he flew from Surah to Pumpadisa. But that doesn't mean that if you're a Shomer Shabbos, you're allowed to fly from Surah to Pumpadisa on Shabbos. So maybe there are Tumim. This is definitely a strange Gemara. But we're about to see that this has very important implications for B'ez Mashiach, which, of course, is perfect for today, because it's exactly the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maftiach, that he's just going to simply get rid of this crazy churban nonsense and get back to normal with B'ez HaMashiach and so on. So it's the perfect daf for today, which was why Daniel should never have asked whether we want to do this daf today. This daf was set up from Sheshes Yemei Bereshis for today, obviously. Now, so in any event, we don't have a right. Because if it was Yosef Shida, then since he's not Shomer Shabbos, we don't know whether there were Tchumim L'mala Me'asara or not. Okay, how about this as a raya? A guy makes a neder. I am going to be a Nazir on the day that Mashiach comes. B'yom Shabbat Sheben David Ba. Now, I mean, what if he comes a minute before Shkia? So then that means that today was the day that Mashiach came. But that means that the guy would have had to have been a Nazir from the morning, even though he didn't know. It doesn't matter. So then that means every day he's going to be Cheshish, that he has to be a Nazir, right? So if that's the case, he would never be allowed to drink wine. But the thing is that if it's Shabbos or Yontif, he is allowed to drink wine, because Mashiach will definitely not come on Shabbos and Yontif. But any other day, asur lishtot yayin kol yomot tacho. Now, why would Mashiach not come on Shabbos and Yontif? Must be because his plane wouldn't be able to land. So if you hold yesh tchumim, then that would explain why this guy is allowed to drink wine, because he knows that Mashiach is certainly not going to get off of his plane on a Shabbos or Yontif, right? Because it would be coming out from outside of the tchum. So what kind of Mashiach stuff could he do on a plane? He can't get off of a plane. So I'm a male. This would not count. It was probably a white plane, though. At least that much, right? So if that's the case, we can be sure that Mashiach's not going to come today before Shkia, and therefore you would be allowed to drink wine. But if you're going to tell me that even if Mashiach's plane lands on Shabbos, he would be allowed to get off the plane and could announce his arrival, so then even on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you're not allowed to drink wine because today may be the day that Mashiach arrived at the airport. Just because you don't know about it doesn't mean that Mashiach didn't come, and therefore you can't drink because how do you know? No, says the Gemara, it's not because Mashiach couldn't get off of the plane. It's because of the fact that since Eliyahu HaNavi did not arrive before to announce the coming of Mashiach, and it says in the pasuk, "Hinei Anochi Shaleach Lechem et Eliyahu HaNavi Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem HaGadol VaNora," and Eliyahu didn't show up yesterday. So since Eliyahu didn't show up yesterday, Mashiach can't come today. Wait a minute, how do you know? If Elio showed up. I mean, if you're going to tell me that if Elio showed up, you would definitely know about him. I don't know why you think that way. You think he's going to knock on your door. So, but anyway, let's assume. I mean, so then that you could say that about every day. Why are we talking about Shabbos and Yom Tov? Did Elio come yesterday? If today is Tuesday? No? Okay, so then Mashiach's not coming today. Did Elio come on Tuesday? If today is Wednesday? No. So you're allowed to drink the wine today. I understand. So then if we are assuming that we know when Eliyahu came, then every single day he's allowed to drink wine because we have advance warning and we know that we didn't get the advance warning and therefore Mashiach is not going to come today. So that doesn't make any sense. So every single day we should say Yochi B'chol. Why are we saying Dafka Shabbos and Yontu? Kol Yuma V'yuma Nami Lishtri. Every single day you should be able to drink wine if you made this neder because Eliyahu didn't show up the day before. So obviously, we do not assume that Eliyahu is going to be knocking on your door and you're going to know that Eliyahu HaNavi came. How are you supposed to know? What we assume is maybe Eliyahu came and he went to visit the Beit Din HaGadol to tell them they better get busy because Mashiach's coming tomorrow. I mean, that doesn't mean you would necessarily have gotten the word right away. By the way, this is an amazing point because the only reason that we need Eliyahu HaNavi to come is v'heshiv lev avot al banim v'lev banim al avotam, right? I mean, I understand. So what good is coming to, it's not just an announcement. What's the point of the announcement? The announcement is to be mechin lifnei bo yom Hashem, because if nothing is done, that day may be a disaster, the pasuk ends. The whole world will become cherem. I mean, nobody's responding to anything. So you see from here that Eliyahu HaNavi being ma'orer, the people who were not responding, is enough to get the world to respond. It's the best in HaGadol who weren't doing their job. I mean, he doesn't have to go knock on every single door. So if you have a leadership that is capable of making that difference, so fine. So then the world won't become cherem. But I understand, who is Mashiach supposed to talk to with a bunch of people who believe everything he doesn't believe and they're not his co-religionists? He's got nobody to come to. So then if he shows up under those circumstances without Eliyahu setting people straight the day before, I mean, then for sure it's a disaster. This is what I came for. What are you, crazy? Blow it up. I mean, for Reb Shimon bar Yochai, imagine what Reb Shimon bar Yochai did coming out of his cave. I mean, Mashiach has been in a cave for 2,000 years. Oh, my heavens. So therefore, I mean, but it's amazing to good it, right? Everybody thinks Eliyahu HaNavi comes, going to be these vast tshuva movements and so on, and I don't even know about it. Okay. But anyway, that the Gemara is taken for granted. So how are you supposed to know if Eliyahu HaNavi came yesterday? So then if you don't know that Eliyahu HaNavi came yesterday, so then you don't know that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come on Erev Shabbos. So then don't tell me that the reason that you're allowed to drink wine on Shabbos is because of the fact that Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come on Friday, because Eliyahu HaNavi didn't come on Tuesday either, as far as you know. And you're still not allowed to drink on Wednesday. So then the only reason that you could be sure that Mashiach is not coming today on Shabbos or on Yom Tov is because his plane landed on Shabbos and Yom Tov, and there are tchumim, and he couldn't get off. How else do you explain it? So you see, therefore, there must be that there are tchumim. No. No. I'll tell you. It's not that you have to personally know. Everybody knows that Eliyahu is not going to show up on Friday. That's the point, because Baruch Hashem, if we had to worry about Eliyahu HaNavi showing up on Friday, nobody would have cholent for Shabbos. I mean, there's so many things to do. My God, Eliyahu HaNavi is here and this and that. It would be a disastrous Shabbos. Everybody would go out, greet Eliyahu HaNavi, right? So Baruch Hashem, we have a Haftacha. Eliyahu HaNavi promises he's not showing up on Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif. Everybody take care of your house, make your cholin, don't worry about needing to run out to say hello. Fine. So kvar muftach lehem liYisrael she'en Eliyahu ba lo bar veShabbatot velo bar veYomim Tovim mipnei haTorach. It's too much trouble. There's no time on an Erev Shabbos for Eliyahu HaNavi's. So if that's the case, that means that we know that Eliyahu HaNavi, it's a given, did not show up on Erev Shabbos, and therefore Mashiach is not going to be able to come on Shabbos because it would be a disaster. But it's not because he can't get off of the plane. Maybe he can get off of the plane and there's no problem of Trumim. You got to admit, this is an amazing Gemara. I just, Bipash is discussing, oh, so what are the issues exactly? I mean, that's the only serious issue we can come up with is getting off of the plane. Okay, so since we know that Eliyahu is not coming, so therefore we now know that the reason is that Eliyahu didn't come around. Now, it stood to reason, and we'll see if we'll make a mistake, but it stood to reason once we read that, that if Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to show up on Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, right, because of the Tircha, so of course Mashiach is also not going to show up. I mean, listen, you know, some people don't have time for Eliyahu HaNavi, but I mean, Mashiach is quite a show. So that they would come out for, right? Nobody says we need Eliyahu HaNavi now, but they say we need Mashiach now. Okay, so that if Mashiach would come, they would all run out. So if they run out, there goes the cholent. So if Eliyahu HaNavi is not going to come, then Mashiach is certainly not going to come because he doesn't want to ruin everybody's cholent. So if that would be the case, then if that's true, if Mashiach nami lo ata, so then even on Erev Shabbos, this guy should be allowed to drink wine because he knows that he's not a nozir today, even though Mashiach hasn't shown up yet. He won't show up, you see, because he's not going to wreck everybody's cholent. So, I mean, once you're eating cholent, you might as well have some wine with the cholent. So this guy should have no problem even on Erev Shabbos. And yet, for some reason, we were only matir him on Shabbos. Nah, says the Gemara. Eliyahu can't come on an Erev Shabbos because who is going to be making the cholent? But if Mashiach shows up on Shabbos, then everybody, all those goyim out there are going to be waiting for an opportunity to make cholent for the first time. Oh my gosh, I can make cholent for a Jew. This is amazing. What an opportunity. The door is going to be broken down by people banging and asking, would it be okay if I made your cholent for you, sir? And so because of that, Mashiach's got no problem coming on Erev Shabbos because there'll be plenty of people to make the cholent. So even though Eliyahu lo ati, but Mashiach is Ati, because given the Ati Mashiacha, now everybody wants to be Avodim LeYisrael, and therefore we won't have any problem with the Tircha. This business of B'nai Yisrael having Tircha is only in the horrible times when you didn't have thousands of people working for you, begging you to do whatever you need. But, I mean, so you actually got used to that as a state of being, which is insane for a Ben Yisrael to be walking through and, like, having to do things himself, like taking out the garbage or making the cholin or peeling potatoes. My God. But, I mean, imagine how prejudiced the person becomes that he should actually have such a ridiculous havamina that because Eliyahu won't show up on Erev Shabbos, Mashiach wouldn't show up on Erev Shabbos. Just goes to show how metumtam your head can become out of habits that are created from insanity. So you see, you get used to worlds that are absolutely chaotic and nonsensical. That was a silly havamina. Okay, so now getting back to the overall question, why in the world can't the guy drink wine on Sunday? Okay, I understand. Okay, Shabbos, I understand. But what about Sunday? So it must be, okay, that there are no dinim of Trumim because Eliyahu's plane could have landed on Shabbos, right? As we were saying, he could have gotten off the plane on Shabbos. Actually, Eliyahu doesn't even have a plane. So Eliyahu lands on Shabbos, and then that would mean that Mashiach could come on Sunday. But if you're going to tell me that there are tchumim above Asara Tvachim, so then Sunday should be mutter because I know that Eliyahu did not arrive on Shabbos because he's not allowed to go chutz l'tchum. So it must be that there is a way that you could go chutz l'tchum. Says the Gemara, okay, that I have to admit, that is a raya. But it is not a definitive raya. I'll tell you why. Because maybe the Tana himself is not coming to paskin whether there are trumim l'malam me'asara. Maybe he was mesupik and he's being machmir, right? So, haitada sefuki misafkale. Is there Trumim on Shabbos or is there not Trumim on Shabbos? It could be that he was saying over here, let's go l'chumra and be chayshesh, that maybe there is no Trumim l'mala me'asora. And if there's no Trumim, then that means that Elio could have landed yesterday on Shabbos, and therefore today this guy can't drink. But Shabbos itself, the guy can drink wine because we have the haftocha that Elio won't come on Erev Shabbos, and therefore it should be okay for him to drink wine today because Mashiach can't come. And that I have to be machmer on to say that it's possible that yesh tumim. So therefore, I can't allow somebody to actually assume that he can get off his plane because maybe there are tumim lamalam yasar. So that would mean that we don't have a clear psak about whether you can get off the plane or not. Now, the issue would be, if that's true, and in fact we do paskin that it's a suffix, so then if it's suffix derabbanan, then you would go lakula, because if we're going to learn that tchumim are not deoraisa, so then you would be allowed to get off your plane and so on because it was a suffix derabbanan lakula, right? And in fact that's how the Gra paskins. Now, the problem is that there are still those shitas in line of the Rambam that say that all of the discussion about tchumim derabbanan is tchumim that are outside of 2,000 amos. That's derabbanan. But the din of a tchum being the size of the Machane Yisrael in the Midbar, which is Yud Beis Mil, that's the Araisa. And since the plane came from outside Yud Beis Mil, then you would have to be Machmer because of that tchum, because then it would be a suffix the Araisa. Okay, so this would be dependent on which one of those shitas already you would go according to. So it's not so posh it that you'd be able to get off of your plane. According to the Gro, you could. Okay. Now, the question is, I mean, I understand we've done all of our analysis in terms of Tchumim. I just don't understand the whole idea. When did the guy make this netter? You see, because, I mean, you're pretending that his status is defined by the particular day. So if today Mashiach is not going to come, then I'm allowed to drink wine. But that's crazy, because once I became a Nazir Mitzad HaSafek yesterday, how am I allowed to drink wine today? It's very confusing to me. What, now we find out, like, sort of ex post facto 2 months later, that Mashiach definitely didn't come, but how does that help me today? So I really don't understand how this works. What day of the week was it when the guy made the net, right? That I don't understand. So where was he? I mean, Ilei Medikai Bechol, if you're saying that it was a weekday, so then he would became a Nazir that day, right? We said the only time is on Shabbos. So then he became another. So now it comes along Shabbos, and now Shabbos cancels the Naziris. How does that happen? How did the Shabbos take off the Nazir? So the only way that this whole Brisa makes sense, anyways, let's just get this straight. The guy is making the neder on Shabbat, it must mean. So the first Shabbat, or the first Yontif, that he makes the neder, then he's allowed to eat. But once Sunday comes along, he'll never be allowed to drink wine or eat grapes again, right? So after that, it would be oscillate, because now he has to assume always that, okay, then the neder already took effect. Now let's talk about the next case. The next case is that they didn't get into port on time, and they wanted to know if they were allowed to get off the boat. And the Rebbe Gamliel said, I've been looking into my telescope, and I could tell by the focal length, as how Rashi understands it, that we were within 2,000 amot. So there's a braita that said that Rebbe Gamliel had this tube, Shul Ferret, I tell Rebbe Gamliel, that he could see, he adjusted the focal length to be such that he would see exactly an area that he knew was 2,000 amos that had been measured. He focused it on 2,000 amos, and then he could utilize the same focus, even though he had no reference. He was in the middle of the yam, but because the focus would be the same, he would be able to look and see if the image was focused at that point, and he looked at the port, and he could see that it was in focus. Then he knew that it was within 2,000 amos, right? Okay, there's many different pshatim as to how this works. So Rashi learns that it's a function of focal length. But, I mean, the truth is that many of the mefarshim of the Gemara don't understand it the way Rashi understands it, and they understand it to be a trigonometric tool, which is used all the time, used today as well, for figuring out. So you simply make a right triangle by putting up a pole, and then you've got one piece that you have a sighting device, which is the hypotenuse of the triangle, and that way you're able to figure out using simple math precisely how far away you are. And then that is the focus that he was talking about, where it was that his eye intersected the angle, so it did not require lenses. Others learn as well that Rashi wasn't talking about lenses. Rashi was talking about the effect of bending light by having a thin tube, which you can see yourself by taking your fingers, putting in front of your eye, and noting that it acts as a telescope if you make the hole small enough. And then you could focus at different things depending on how far you move your finger away from the other. So it does not necessarily prove that Rabban Gamliel was centuries prior to Galileo. Ah, we like our shot. Okay. Anyway, so it was that telescope that allowed him to know. And I mean, actually, once I mean, we're at it, this is a easy way for people to figure exactly when it's difficult to measure. You could do the same thing. You want to know how deep the Grand Canyon is. I mean, now you could go snappling, and take along a measuring tape, but that's a difficult way to do it. So if you want to know how deep the Grand Canyon is, you could do the same thing. You could be mevi'eshvoferet of this kind, and you had defined its focal length. You move it along that focal length, and you adjust it, and then you'd be looked down into the valley, and you would know exactly how deep the valley is, because obviously it doesn't matter whether it's horizontal or vertical, and you can use this a very easy way to do things that otherwise might get you into trouble. Let's say I want to know how high a tree is. Well, now this, you see, is an indication that we are not dealing with the trigonometric tool, because if we were, then there's an easy way to know how tall the decal is. As a matter of fact, you can even figure out how tall the sun is above the earth, So, I mean, why in the world, after talking about trig, would the Gemara suddenly give me a trick to know how high a decal is? I don't know. But anyway, if you want to know a simple way of knowing how high a decal is, all you need to do is measure your own shadow at a particular time in the afternoon where the sun is behind you. Take a look at how much longer than you are your shadow is, and then you could take the same proportion and apply it to the tree. So if it's at a time of the day when the shadow is twice your height, which is a given, then you know that the measured shadow should be divided by two, and then you will know how high the tree is. Very simple. Okay. So then you should be modeid komato vitzilo. So take a look at the proportion of your shadow to your actual height, and then do the same thing at cel komato, and then you would know kova kama kova shodego. Now there's another thing. In people who dig graves need to be careful that they don't provide, by making a little mound on the grave or a gravestone, that they do not provide a nice shaded area for animals to sit in, because then the animals may dig up the grave. So they want to make sure that it's not a comfortable place for a cat. Okay, so therefore, don't park your car over a grave, because the cats love to go under that, right? So if you're making a grave mound, so then what should you do? Put a pole into the ground at the fourth hour of the day. Why the fourth hour of the day? Because look, a little bit of shade that's provided by a gravestone is not significant once the day gets hot. And no animal is going to shade themselves in the little 2 inches that are provided over that. It's going to be boiling hot. They'll go and look for a better shade than that. But there is a point in the day where it's cool. The air is still cool. And if you're not in the direct sun and the sun is not directly overhead, then if you are a cat, it would be a great place to snuggle up and have a little bit of a nap. And then you may note that there is a curious smell and that you start digging up the grave. So what you do is you take a look and you take at the look at the direction of the shadow. And then if you see the direction of the shadow, make sure that you're mishapeav ole, mishapeav yoreh, put the upper side of the gravestone in a way that by the time the shadow is on the other side, it's already in an incline and it's down at the bottom so that the animal won't have where to be. Anyway, so now getting back to the original question that we had, which was that if somebody is taken out of his tchum and he's inside of a deer or a sahar, So we saw over there that according to Rebbe Gamliel, you're allowed to walk the entire thing as if it's Arba Amos. And that was a machlokes, whether that's true, even though you weren't in the Mechitzas before, or you need to be in the Mechitzas afterwards, like Rebbe Akiva. Anyway, so once happened that Nehemiah, who was the son of Rav Chaniloi, he was thinking about a sugya, wasn't paying attention, and he walked out of the tchum accidentally, and there he was stuck, and he couldn't move outside of his Arba Amos. And so Rav Chista, who saw him in Tzoras, he comes to Rav Nachman, and he tells Rav Nachman, you know, Rav Nachman, Nehemiah, who is your Talmud, is in a really bad state. What can we do for him? So Rav Nachman says to him, well, you could make a mechitza out of people, assuming you have people in that area, or assuming you have people that made an Erev and they could go out there. So make a mechitza for him, because we paskined, didn't we? Like Rav, and you're allowed to, even though you weren't in the mechitza before Shabbos, you're allowed to be in that entire area on Shabbos. So then make the area bigger by having people stand around him, and then they should go all the way up to the Tchum, and then once he's allowed to walk back into the Tchum because he's surrounded by this Mechitza, he'll be back in the Tchum, and then everybody can go back home, right? So now the question was exactly what it meant, because you note that if you said, make a Mechitza shel b'nei Adam, then why does it say Yikanes? I mean, obviously, wouldn't that be the point? What else are we talking about? So that's going to end up being a key to understanding what was going on over here. When Nachum Bar Yitzchak was sitting in the room, he was in back of Rava. Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman, and they heard Rav Chista talking to Rav Nachman, and they heard what Rav Nachman said to him. So Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak asked Rava, I'm not clear what Rav Chista was asking him, or what didn't he know exactly? Are we talking about a case where there were people that were available that had made an Erev, and they were able to like go out, and there were enough people to stand around and allow Nehemiah Bar Chachiloi to walk in? I mean, if that would be the case, why would he be wondering what to do? Maybe he didn't know whether the halacha was like Rabbi Gamliel about Dir Vesar in the Mishnah. That's crazy. He couldn't have been asking whether the halacha is like Rabbi Gamliel or not like Rabbi Gamliel, because Rav Chista was like a top Talmud of Rav, right? And we already know what the din is according to Rav over there, because as we're going to see, Rav Paskin Beferish like Rav Gamliel. So maybe that wasn't his question. Maybe his question is, we don't have enough people to go all the way into the Tchum. And what he was asking is, do we Paskin like Rebbe Eliezer later on, where the Mishnah says that if you can get within two Amos of your Tchum, then because your four Amos would extend up to those two Amos and absorb them, you're allowed to walk back into your Tchum. So maybe you don't have enough people, but you have enough locals that could stretch the area that he is in up to two Amos close to the Tchum. And that was what he wanted to know. Could you do that? And then walk in based on the Psak of Rebbe Eliezer later. Said Rava to him, well, obviously, you know what he must have been asking. He was talking about a case where you did not have enough people to actually make a thing all the way into the Tchum, because if we were talking about the case where there were enough people, so then he wouldn't have asked. Because he knows that Rav, who is his Rebbe, and Rav Chista always quotes Rav Chista Amar Rav. So he certainly wouldn't have asked what the din is. He knows that Amar Rav Halacha K'Rabbi Gamliel in the case of Dir Sa'ar V'Sfina, which we talked about at length. So then obviously the case is he did not have enough people. There were only enough people to get within two Amas. That was the point. And Rav Chista was asking, can I rely on Rebbe Eliezer? By the way, if you analyze what Rav Nachman said, it's clear that that was the case, Daikanami. Because what he said was, make a mechitza around the guy and then let him come in. What do you mean, then let him come in? Of course, then let him come in. What are we making the mechitza for? So it must be that the mechitza did not get him into the place where he needed to go. It only got him to within two amas. And therefore, if we say yikanes, it must mean he meant yikanes without the mechitza. There no longer was a mechitza. And therefore, there would be nothing to do.